Please open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. We'll be looking at the first four Beatitudes together. And we'll be looking at the third Beatitude, the meek. So if you're able, please rise for the reading of God's Word. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. As many of you have learned over these past couple of years, one of my personal heroes is a man named Fred Rogers, right? Better known as Mr. Rogers from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood TV show. This is from a long, long time ago. But if you have kids right nowadays, you may have seen the other cartoon show called Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is actually based on this. And in this picture, you can actually see the original Daniel Tiger. That puppet is named Daniel Tiger. And I love hearing stories of how he showed kindness or exemplified Christ-like character, because he was, after all, a Christian. And the one that came to my mind when I was preparing for this sermon was this one. It's just an audio transcript, basically, where there's no video. But this is what he said, okay? This is an audio recorder on the set catches Fred Rogers fighting with his wife. Sometimes when we disagree, I feel frustrated, but I never forget how lucky I am to have you in my family. Always remember how special you are. You know, when people see that, they know that that's not usual. That's unusual. Because that's not how most people fight. That's not how most people react when they're frustrated. And I'm sure that you and I both know this. But that's because this is what being meek is like. And although it's unusual, I, for one, and I'm sure you agree, that we want to be more like this, right? Even when we're frustrated with our spouses or with our kids, we can say something like this, that, you know, even though I'm frustrated right now, I still care about you. You're still special to me, right? To show that gentleness. Well, we want to be like that, don't we? And we can. And that's because this character is for all Christians, not just a select few. So this morning, we're going to look at this beatitude together and learn what this looks like so that we too can exemplify meekness in this world that is going in a way that is totally opposite of what it means to be meek. And the main reason why being meek will seem upside down to the world is because the meek trust in God. But the world is going in a way where it trusts in itself or trusts in human potential. And to the world, the meek will look weak, pathetic, or even like a pushover, but I hope to show you that the world needs the meek more than ever. And I want to show you this morning that the meek trust in God in the following way. The meek trust in God, trust God in their identity, in their actions, and in their future. Again, the meek trust God in their identity. They place that identity in God. And they trust God in their action, meaning everything that they do is based on what God says and their future. Now, what does it mean to be meek? Like, we don't use this word very often in real life, right? First, meekness does not mean weakness. It's not about being timid, about being passive, or having a lack of ambition. And today, I'm going to be throwing a lot of different definitions or different descriptions of this. It's kind of like trying to paint a picture using many different brush strokes, because this word is more nuanced than we think, and the English word for it doesn't quite capture its full meaning. So this word can be used to describe like a person who is gentle, a person who is in control of himself. And the word can be used to describe domesticated animals like bull or horse, neither of which are weak. A professional boxer who doesn't fight back when he gets into an argument with an amateur is meek. A person with power who uses it to serve others instead of himself is being meek. Abraham Lincoln, for example, was meek. And you may have heard of this quote, which is often credited to Abraham Lincoln. He said, it says, "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." Maybe you've heard of that. But the actual quote goes longer and is actually from a man named Robert G. Ingersoll, who was actually describing Abraham Lincoln, which is why this is often credited to Abraham, but it's actually about Abraham Lincoln. And this is how it goes. He said, "Nothing discloses real character like the use of power. It is easy for the weak to be gentle, and most people can bear adversity. But if you wish to know what a man really is, give him power. This is the supreme test. It is a glory of Lincoln that having almost absolute power, he never abused it except on the side of mercy." And you may remember that Abraham Lincoln is known as the president who worked hard for abolishing slavery. Right? As the president of the United States, he had power and he used it for the weak. And that's meekness. The meek are gentle even with power. But let me kind of dwell on that for a second. It is easy for the weak to be gentle. And that's why we think that being meek is associated with being weak. But we see in movies and TV shows where a seemingly meek person, a character, becomes a menace once he gains power. Let me give just two examples from a popular TV show and a popular movie. Here's an example from the hit TV show Breaking Bad. You know, Walter White, an overqualified chemistry teacher in high school, is at first seen as meek. He doesn't speak up for what he wants. He's gentle. He's a bit of a pushover. And he seems harmless, but he finds out that he has cancer. And then, you know, in order to find money for cancer treatment, he starts making drugs. I mean, he's a really smart chemistry teacher. So he makes really good drugs, I guess. And then he starts getting a taste of power and his dark ambitions and violence start to surface. And at the end of the series, he confesses to his ex-wife that he did it not for his family, which is what he started with, but he actually did it for himself because he liked it. He liked having that power. Another character is Michael Corleone from The Godfather. Right, Michael is the good son of the Corleone family, right? If you don't know this movie, The Godfather, I'm going to spoil it a little bit. It is an old movie, so it's okay, right? He's a soft-spoken war hero, and at first wants nothing to do with his family's criminal empire. He is polite and gentle, but after an assassination attempt is made on his father, the Godfather, right? Michael takes up power to protect his family by murdering the rival drug lord and a corrupt police officer. And to hide from all of this, from all the heat, he goes to Italy. And while he's there, his brother is also murdered. Near the end of the movie, Michael takes over the family business. And with the death of his father, he takes on the role of the new Godfather. And with this new power, the new role as the Godfather, he goes to execute all the rival mafia heads during his nephew's baptism, where he becomes his nephew's Godfather and the new Godfather of the mafia. There's something common about these characters. They seem meek until they gain power. And when they have power, they don't show meekness anymore. That's because that's not what meekness is about. Meekness is used on people who are not weak. It is actually used to describe those who have strength, but those who use their strength with control, those who have their powers under control. Both characters wanted what was best for their families, but they get it through illegal, violent, sinful ways. In order to secure their identity, their desires, they use power to get it, and this is not meekness. But isn't that how the world works? If you want something, you have to work hard for it. You have to beat the competition to get it, right? And for some things, only the strong can get it. Those who have power, those who have opportunity, those who are lucky, luckier than others are the ones who come out on the top. The strong dominate the weak. It's the survival of the fittest. But that's the thing about God. The way the world is right now is not the way God had intended. We didn't need to grasp for what we want or need. They were readily available for all when God created this world. Our egos didn't need to defend itself or step on others in order to feel special. We were already created to be special, accepted by God. We were created in the images of God. But because of sin, the world turned upside down once. And those who wish to follow in God's ways, in Jesus' ways, the way of the Beatitude, it seems like they are the ones living upside down. But the world must know that those who are meek are the ones living right side up. They're the ones going the right way. It's not that we are going the wrong way in the eyes of the world, but the world is going the wrong way. And we must show them what it's like to live under the lordship of our God. I mean, again, just look at the world right now. Look at the news, right? Billionaires trying to make more money when they already have more than enough than they can spend in a lifetime. War between cartels and the Mexican military that's going on down south. What's happening in Dubai and Iran right now. Kidnapping, murders, affairs, theft, robbery, all of it. Why are they happening? Because people are using whatever means to get what they want. When people try to get what they want against the will of God, we call it sin. Yes, you can have what you want, like security for your family, through righteous means. And those who do it according to God's ways, through godly character, are those who are meek. So what do the meek look like? There's a chapter in Psalms that almost everyone refers to when studying about this beatitude. And it's Psalm chapter 37. Many believe that Jesus is actually quoting from one of the verses in this psalm. And let me just read you a few verses to show you what this meekness is like. So Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 to 11. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Again, this is a picture of those who are meek. They trust in God. They trust in God with their identity, with their lives, with their character, with their future. And this beatitude, like the one previous, is connected to all others as well. And here is again, from the first beatitude, the poor in spirit recognize their spiritual bankruptcy. And so they mourn over their sin and the brokenness of the world. But because they know that God loves them and accepts them despite their sins, which is how they receive comfort, because of Jesus, they put themselves under the lordship of God. So they stop trying to defend themselves and stop asserting superiority or dominance over others. Because they are so humbled by the loving grace of God, which is a gift, something that we cannot earn, they are gentle towards others as well. Because the meek see themselves clearly and honestly as sinful people saved by the holy God, they are not proud before others. And because they have everything already, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven, they don't try to grasp everything through power. They trust in God. And that's why Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says that meekness is a true view of oneself expressing itself in attitude and conduct toward others. More sinful than we can imagine, more love than we can hope. This is at the center of those who are meek. When Jesus calls himself gentle and lowly, It's actually the same word, right? This comes from the verse where Jesus says, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy burden, and I shall give you rest. Learn from me. Take upon my yoke upon your shoulders, for I am gentle and lowly. This is the same word. He's saying, I am meek and lowly. And the word in the fruit of the Spirit that says gentleness, this is the same word. Meekness is the fruit of the Spirit. So what does meekness look like then? Well, it is a non-defensive humility. A meek person does not constantly try to protect their reputation. They don't retaliate when they're insulted. But that's because their identity is so secure in God, God who loved them even while they were sinners, they don't need to fight back. They're also able to withstand accusations and refrain from becoming defensive or retaliating because they trust God to vindicate them. Now, the two people in the Bible described as meek are Moses and Jesus. And surely there were many others who exemplified meekness in God, but these two are explicitly mentioned as being more meek than others. Now, Moses was publicly ashamed in Numbers chapter 12, I think. He was publicly ashamed by his own brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam. They disapproved of Moses marrying a non-Israelite, and they were jealous of how only God only spoke to Moses. So they publicly shame him by bringing this up in public. But Moses does not say anything. But God doesn't stay silent. So God speaks to Moses and Aaron and Miriam this time, and he tells them to come out to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. And there God comes in the cloud, the pillar of cloud, and speaks to them to vindicate Moses. And as punishment, Miriam's skin become leprous. And here you see Moses being meek again, because he cries out to God when he sees that and says, oh God, please heal her, please. For someone who just publicly shamed them, he goes out of his way to pray for their healing. And so God does heal her in 7 days. Apostle Paul writes in Romans how believers should act in the face of evil. And it's the same thing. He says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Do not be proud, basically. But associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is what it means to be meek. It is not out of weakness or the inability to fight back, but out of complete trust in God. Out of the trust that God has secured your identity and your future. As Christians, we are told to live blamelessly so that those who would slander us would be the ones who are put to shame. And the meek aim to live righteously before God, who forgave them and rescued them from sin and death. They fear God, and out of that fear, they are able to act with gentleness to others. So before I go on to the next point, let me just summarize this once again, right? Basically, the meek are those who trust in God completely. They trust him so completely because they realize how much God loves them. They know that they are sinners before God, yet at the same time, beloved children of God. And it is out of this identity that we're able to show meekness, show gentleness through others, through our words and actions. So that's the second point. The meek trust in God in their action. Meaning, how does this character express itself in real life? Now, as we saw in the beginning with Fred Rogers, we are able to hold back our anger and frustration. In fact, that's another way to define meekness. Meekness is power under control. A wild stallion is not meek. It does not hold back its power. It's not controlled. But a trained horse is meek. And that's what we ought to do as well. But let me show you the opposite of what meekness looks like first. His name is Lamech. He comes in Genesis chapter 4. He's the seventh generation down from Cain. So if Cain represents those who live away from God, seven mean complete. This is what it looks like if you're completely living apart from God in his ways. Lamech said to his wives, so already we see that he has more than one wife, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. This is actually in a format of a poem, like a song, okay? Lamech is defensive and violent. Again, the meek do not retaliate. They do not escalate and trust in God for justice. But Lamech actually boasts in retaliation, escalates vengeance and violence by killing a young man for wounding him, and breaks into poetry to celebrate his violence. He is hypersensitive to insult, disrespect, and has a hyperinflated ego. I mean, could you imagine a man pulling out a gun and shooting down a teenager because he bumped into him? And not only that, the man then, you know, takes out his phone, starts a live stream telling everyone what he's done, boasting, and even, you know, like mentions his wives in there, and warns everyone that anyone who crosses him will face the same kind of maximum vengeance. That's kind of what Lamech's doing here. What's more, Lamech is securing himself, his future, through violence, warning everyone that his vengeance shall be 77 times. Now, seven means perfect or complete, and 77 is not literally 77 times, but it means to absolutely, to completely avenge himself. Like saying, I will kill you and your family and all your relatives and everything that you love, just for bumping into me. And it's very interesting how Jesus later on tells his disciples to forgive your brother who sins against you, how many times? 77 times. Because that is what a meek person does. Although Lamech is on the opposite end of being weak, he is like a caricature of the world. And what we must also realize is that we are also like this. To some degree, we do the same thing. We're defensive. We feel the need to win arguments at all expense sometimes. We feel crushed by criticisms. We seek recognition from others. We want to grasp for more power, more control. We want to be great. We want to feel better than others. If you're going to be humble, you want to be more humble than the other person. That's because this beatitude is never natural. None of these beatitudes are. You will never see this character in a natural person. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And this is what happens when the saving grace of God, the amazing grace, grasps a person. And when the person is grasped by the grace of God, they can start letting go of things. They stop trying to prove themselves. They stop trying to dominate. They stop retaliating. They stop trying to secure their own future through sinful ways. Because they trust that God will vindicate them, that God will provide for them, that God will fulfill his promises. Going back to Psalm chapter 37, we see that the meek do good out of trust in God. Again, it's not because that's a social norm. That's not what this is saying. They trust in God, so they do good. Even though it may seem like all others are getting ahead by, let's say, cutting corners or compromising, the meek choose to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. For example, let's say that you see your coworkers wasting time at work, which means that they're wasting company resources. In a way, they're stealing money by being lazy. Everyone else does it, they say, but you choose not to, for you trust that God is watching you and he will reward you. This is what it means to be meek. And since I mentioned Fred Rogers before, let me use him as an example again. I mentioned that he's a Christian, but he's actually a Christian minister. But when he came home one day and saw TV for the first time, he saw people throwing pies in each other's faces. I think what he watched was the Three Stooges or something like that. And he saw that it was disturbed by the degrading humor. People are laughing at the expense of other people being shamed. And so instead of rejecting media and saying, I'm not going to watch TV ever again, he actually enters into it in order to help children watch TV and form good character. In fact, there's a video clip on YouTube where he's before the Senate to get $6 million funding for PBS, right? Where you get shows like Sesame Street and all these shows that kids grew up with. So his show, right, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, unlike other popular TV shows at the time, sought to reject mockery, competition-driven humiliation, chaos, and shaming humor. He cared deeply about children and was always gentle towards them. So he never improvised in his shows, and he rehearsed nearly every word because he believed that words can shape souls and never wanted to cause shame or fear in children by accident. He used his powers in a controlled way, and neither was he weak either. He spoke out against racism, segregation, and other important issues, but with gentleness and kindness. Like sharing a small pool with a black police officer on the show. And it says, you know, in 1969, when black Americans were still prevented from swimming alongside whites, Mr. Rogers decided to invite Officer Clemens in the show to join him and cool his feet in a pool, breaking a well-known color barrier. And this is, they did this again way later. And what's interesting is that the actor who plays Officer Clemens is also gay. So, and he knew that, you know, Fred Rogers was a Christian. So later that same actor in an interview will remember this moment, this particular moment, as when Fred Rogers washed his feet like Jesus washed his disciples' feet. That's meekness. Now, for sure, he wasn't perfect either, and his wife attested to that fact. And again, being meek does not mean being perfect. But it comes from constant reminder of who we are before God and acting out of that humbleness. And think of it this way. Meekness is gentleness without the ego. Meaning whatever you do, it's never for yourself. So let me go through this in our lives, maybe practically. As parents, this can look like correcting your children without humiliating them or shaming them or disciplining without rage. A lot of the times, I find myself getting angry when my kids don't listen, and I realize that it's because I take that as a disrespect on my authority. In other words, I take that as an attack on my ego, and that brings out anger. When you remember as parents that you too are like a rebellious child before God, yet you receive acceptance and forgiveness, you too can show that kind of mercy and grace to your children. And that's when the children can learn and see what grace and meekness look like. They won't be able to understand this whole concept of grace of God, amazing grace, unless they can first see what that's like through the parents. And parents can do this when they realize that their authority comes from God. So they don't need to grasp for authority through fear and control. For couples, you know, you can show gentleness in everything that you do to each other, but particularly when they fight. Being meek doesn't mean you never argue or disagree. That's not what it means. It's how you do it that matters. You don't escalate it. You don't weaponize past mistakes. You don't keep scores. You don't insist on always being right. You can just go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and there's a list of how to be meek. You speak the truth without contempt or condescension, and you can disagree without demeaning, and you hold back as to not hurt the other person. What about at work? If you're an employee, right, doing excellent work without self-promotion, saying, look what I've done, right? Look at me, give me a promotion. Receiving criticism without collapsing, not gossiping to gain influence, and not retaliating against unfair treatment impulsively. Right, again, this is what it looks like to trust in God at your work. But meekness is not enduring abuse silently. It's not refusing to speak up about injustice, whether it's a workplace or at home or wherever. And it's not never advocating for yourself appropriately. Right? I warned against self-promotion, but it's there. You have to be wise about this. It's not never advocating yourself appropriately. Meaning, meekness is not standing by when there's injustice happening, but standing up when it's appropriate. It is power under control. It's not having no power. We're not told to be pushovers or never defend ourselves either. We must never defend for the sake of our ego or show impulsiveness or aggression that is ego-driven. That's what this is saying. Jesus himself, the meekest person who ever lived, cleansed the temple, right? He flipped over tables, drove out animals, rebuked hypocrisy, confronted errors, but he did it gently. It was never out of control, never out of ego, never out of just pure anger, but out of a zeal for God and righteousness and ministry. What up for employers and those in leadership positions? It is authority exercised for service, not dominance. In other words, it's servant leadership. It's listening to your subordinates and employees. It doesn't humiliate others in public. And let me take this one more place, online. Right? Meekness is not shaming people online or mocking your opponents. It's so easy to leave comments and just kind of leave it be, but it can hurt people, right? It doesn't use sarcasm as weapon. Instead, it speaks the truth, stands up for the truth, and stands up for what is righteous, what is just. Again, meekness is not cowardice. It's not silence in the face of abuse and injustice. It's not lack of ambition. It's not emotional suppression. And it's not lack of boundaries either, and not avoidance of confrontation. Instead, it's controlled strength, putting your strength under God's control. It is calm courage, humble confidence, and character that is deeply rooted in trust in God. And that's because the meek trust in God in their future. Now, last part of the verse, right? It says, they shall inherit the earth. Inherit, not seized, not earned, but given by God, because everything belongs to Him. Inheritance is supposed to come when it's at the right time. It is like how a parent would put money in a trust so that when the child is of age, they can receive it. The Bible shows us that this world right now is like a rat race for that which they cannot keep. In fact, it's like a game of Monopoly. It's you have all these monies and properties, and the whole point of Monopoly is so that you monopolize. You have everything. You take everyone else's property and money. And the way the game is designed so that is that you, when you have more property, you keep getting stronger and stronger, and those who have less will get less and less and less. And you know, imagine this, right? You're playing Monopoly and people are like cheating, people are getting aggressive. They would actually bring their own money, like actual real money to play this game, like, you know, I'm lacking $500. Here's actually my real money, right? Doing everything they can to win at this game. That's what the world is like right now. But those who are meek understand that this is just a game. Because at the end of the game, you don't actually keep these properties or keep the money. They mean nothing. But those who are gentle realize, those who are meek realize that this is just a game and that they can be gentle, they can be generous to others. Because at the end of the game, they know that they can just get up and sit at the dining table with their Father. The day is coming when God will bring new heaven and new earth. And this is a promised inheritance to Jesus and to us who are in Jesus. And the more this hope becomes real in your heart, the more meek you can be. And Jesus knew this. He knew that a day is coming when we will be able to inherit a new world with Him, to enjoy all of God's blessings together with our loved ones in Christ for all eternity. Whenever we do our communion, we're reminded that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He was meek. And yet, what does He say? He will not drink of this drink. He will not drink a new wine until that day when He can drink it anew with them in the Father's house in heaven. And that's why He's serving. That's why He's sacrificing Himself. And for that reason, He endured. He was meek. He was gentle. And even on the cross, when people mocked Him, He was still meek. They would say, "Save yourself." Even one of the criminals being crucified beside Him called out, "Are you not the Christ? Are you not the Savior, the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But He stayed. But by staying on the cross, Jesus would be seen as a fraud to the world. And He knew that. But He trusted in God to the point of death and did not come down from the cross. You see, in Matthew chapter 26, before the crucifixion, Jesus said these words, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and He will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" Meaning He had the power to save Himself, but He doesn't exercise that power so that the scripture can be fulfilled. And what is He trying to fulfill? that he suffers for the sin of mankind, for you and me, so that we may be saved and have eternal life once and for all. And so when he was on the cross, when others slandered him, he stayed silent. Let me read this last passage from Matthew chapter 27, verses 39 to 43. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is a king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The ones he came to save mocked him instead. Ones he came to save wanted him dead instead. But even through their mockery, God's truth still came out. They mocked him, saying, "He trusts in God." Yes. That's exactly why he stayed on the cross. Because that's what meekness is, trusting in God. And 3 days after this, God raises Jesus from the dead, ultimately vindicating him. So dear friends, this is who our God is. He is trustworthy. And when we trust in him with our identity, with our actions, with our future, we too will be able to show this Christ-like meekness that others will see us and wonder about the quiet power that's inside us that is able to withstand any slander, any abuse with love and goodwill instead. So may you trust in God this week as Jesus trusted in him also. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this beatitude. And we understand how hard it is to be meek at times. But Lord, we ask of you to give us more of your spirit so that we may bear this fruit of the spirit in us, so that we too may be meek and gentle towards others, so that the world may see what it can be like when it's under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for these words. Help us in these things. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.